Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm sure there has been at least one time in your life where you've been misunderstood, where the words that you said were just twisted just so much that you realize that what you meant to say was not what everyone else heard. Or some of the behaviors that you exhibited had absolutely nothing to do with your intent, but that's how people interpreted it. Have you ever been there? And you know something else, that as much as you try to defend yourself, it doesn't work. I have had to learn the discipline of holding on to myself and not rising to the defense. And it's awfully difficult when you know you've been misunderstood, when you know that what is said about you is not the reality. So what do you do? Well, I know what I do. I usually pick up the phone and start complaining bitterly to whomever will listen to me. But I think there's a better way, and it's in the scripture that was read this morning, Psalm 4. That person was misunderstood. In fact, that person, it sounds like, was slandered, and it was more than a misunderstanding. It was really affecting him so much that he was losing sleep over it. Have you ever been there? And the first thing that this person does, which I hope that we can use as a habit, instead of talking to the people first that have slandered him, he talks to God. And that's a habit that I think we all need to get into, talking to God first. And first he says, "Answer me when I call, O God of my right." In other words, he said, God is the one who gives him his sense of who he is. And we have to understand that our value is not what other people think of us. Our value is not tied up in who we think of ourselves. Our value is tied up in that the fact that we are the children of God. I love that verse in 1 John where it says, we are the children of God. That's who we are. That's who I am. I'm a child of the heavenly King. So no matter what anyone says about me, my identity is not wrapped up in what they think. My identity is wrapped up in God's view of me. We have to remember that when our words are being twisted and when we're misunderstood. Then he says, at another time, guess the psalmist had the same problem some other time, and he says, you gave me room when I was in distress. In other words, you gave me space. You gave me a place to be. You answered me one other time. Now, I don't think God needed to be reminded that he had answered this man in the past. I think the psalmist had to remind himself, and that is so very important when we come in distress to understand and to remind ourselves, if God answered us before, if we had peace in another situation, if we had rest in another situation, it stands to reason that he will hear me again. This is to remind ourselves, put ourselves in the right frame of mind. Then he says, be gracious to me, hear my prayer. I have another request, Lord, hear it. Now, after he speaks to God, then he does address the people who are angry with him, the people who are twisting his words. He said, how long will my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. I'm not going to be defined by what you say. The Lord knows who I am. And then he gives us all another piece of advice. He said, when you're disturbed or when you're angry, do not sin. In other words, don't play fire with fire. Don't say, well, because this person said this about me, I'm going to say that about him. Do not raise up and be offensive. What does it say? When you are disturbed, do not sin, but be still. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. That's about the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Because what we want to do is lash out. What we want to do is get on our horse and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Or, you know, you're criticizing me, but what about you? But one of the gifts that God gives to us, and it's so difficult in this day and age to see it as a gift, is silence. Sometimes we just need to be still. We need to be still. We need to let God speak to us. And he said, so when we're in that situation, the gift God can give us is to be still, to be silent. And then at the end of this psalm, which I love, he said, I will both lie down and sleep in peace. How many of us have had sleepless nights because of things we cannot control? And yet we fret and stew half the night about it. But when we put this before God, even when we're disturbed, even when we're angry, and we put things before God, he says, you can leave it with me and you can go to sleep. I will sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, help me and make me lie down in safety. Peaceful sleep. You know, when I read this gospel story, I kind of sighed and said, boy, is this redundant. For 3 weeks now, we have heard Jesus say, peace be to you. And you'd think after 3 weeks that enough was enough. And then I realized what a blessed redundancy. The peace of Christ. That every time we're up in a heap, Jesus speaks peace again to us. What a wonderful gift that he's given to us. I will lay down and sleep in peace. When I'm silent, when I'm not trying to defend myself, God will help. I have an extreme example of this. Now, I know most of us will never have to face this, thank God. But there's a true story, and it's by a man named Larry Miller, who was a corrections officer in Connecticut. And in 1983, this upstanding man of the community was charged with a crime that he did not commit. He was told that he brutally beat someone. The sad thing about the story is there was a criminal, a known criminal in that area, career criminal, who could have been this man's twin. And when the victims came forward, they identified the corrections officer, not the man who did the deed. And even though he had a lawyer, even though they knew this other man's name and they wanted to tell the authorities that it had to be him, no one would believe him, and a jury convicted him, an innocent man, and sent him a sentence of 32 years in prison. Can you imagine? And he said when he went to prison, he did not think he could survive. And it wasn't because he was an ex-prison guard. It was his sense of injustice, the bitter depths of my grievance toward the system I had loyally served would destroy me. The man who did the crime was already in prison for murder. And he was going to spend the rest of his life behind bars. And this man's lawyer tried to convince him, there's nothing more they can do to you. Why don't you confess? And he would not do that because he hated police. At the writing of this article, he was looking back and he said he was now 50 years old. He went into prison in his 30s. I had been in prison for nearly 12 years. My legal appeals had failed. I had little hope for release for at least 6 more years. On the day I should have been walking my daughter down the aisle at church, I lay on my bunk in my cell watching the shadows make their journey across the ceiling and daydreaming about relatives and friends. A year later, I first saw my newborn grandson across a table in the prison visiting room. God's time is not our time. That saying would never have made sense to me before prison. Now I tried to be on God's time. I worked in the prison chapel, helped other prisoners study for their GEDs, and taught religion classes. I even learned to pray for the man who had done the crime, who was by then serving a life sentence for murder. After finishing my work this day, I went to walk in the prison yard. I prayed as I had many times before, "Lord, if it is your will, please open Danny's heart. No matter what, have mercy on him and on me." I was about to go back to my cell when the loudspeaker in the yard called out my name. In the visiting room stood my lawyer with the news I thought I'd never hear. We had a confession. 8 months later, during Easter week, I was back inside a courtroom. On that day, I became a free man. I've been asked if I am bitter over the lost years. Of course it hurts to think of all that time away from my family, yet how can I see those years as lost? It was then that I learned to serve God, to trust him with my life. I can't afford bitterness now, any more than when I first went to prison for something I did not do. God does not want me to be bitter. Bitterness is just another prison, and he wants me to be free. When we're misunderstood, Jesus speaks peace. When we're misunderstood, let's go to God first and ask for his mercy. Let us pray. Far away in the depths of my spirit today lies a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Lord, I ask that if there's anyone here who has had sleepless nights, who's